My name is Ron. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. And I've had victory over alcohol for 27 years as of last Monday. Thank you. Let's say a little prayer before I get started here. So I need some help. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this night. I thank you for this opportunity to serve you. Help me do the best I can to honor you and your words and your communication and to be that person that you would have me to be. I just thank you for every person here. Bless them. Help me to hopefully communicate your words and your meanings. In your precious name, I pray tonight. Amen. So tonight's lesson is victory, and we're going to look at an overview of Principle 5, and we're going to answer the question, how can you have victory over your character defects? And just to show you that Satan is alive and well, he's been beating up on me for the last few weeks, telling me not, you know, I had Michael all lined up to get up here and give this talk tonight, and it just could happen that way, that when it's your turn to do the deal, that you'll get picked on if you're being of service, and I have to tell myself what I've told people that are giving testimonies and whatnot for the first time, and they've worked hard and they've gotten ready and everything, and then days and hours before, I don't want to do it. It's hard enough, but then let alone things will happen in their life to say, well, I don't deserve to be up there, and I can't do this. And it's like, no, you know, it's like, do the deal. Put one foot in front of the other. As was said tonight, you're victorious, and you've done it, and I get up there. And it's not always easy, and we want to believe that lie from Satan that just keeps on us, and it's like no, you know. And so I'm here, and we'll see what happens, but I'm here, and we'll do this thing. And just as the lie is saying to me, I have no victory in this and that, and we had a vacation last week, Sherry and I, and we went to the coast, and Tuesday I went to an AA meeting at Newport, Oregon, and I got my 27-year coin for not drinking. And, you know, then the rest of the week, I can't get up there and teach. I've got no victory over any, you know, blah, blah. But alcohol to me was my life. I mean, I thought I could never beat it. I fought it for 8 years before, well, longer than that, but really trying to quit. And it was it to me. It was everything in my life. And so if I can do it and whatnot for 27 years, then, hey, you know what? So we all can do this deal. I have a service announcement to make tonight also. For anybody traveling to the coast, there is no Starbucks between Newburgh and Lincoln City. I had been thinking, you know, I got that gold card for Starbucks, and on your Monday was my belly button birthday, and then what I call my belly button, and then Tuesday was my AA or my alcohol birthday without a drink or drug or anything. So I'm thinking for weeks of getting that. You know, you can order whatever you want, you know, and I can get that baby up around $7-$8, you know, for a venti, double mocha, triple shot. I mean, it almost melts the cup. It's so strong. And I'm dreaming about it. I'm going to be driving to the Sherry Drives, and I just sit back and sip my coffee and look at the scenery, and so... But I always get it in Sherwood. We're just on 99 out of Tiger, just heading south. I get it there, and I'm ready to go. Well, we talked just before getting there. We talked ourselves into. We got out of town a little bit earlier than normal. This was Monday morning. Usually, you know, we're planning to get out early Monday morning and we're out by 6 o'clock at night, you know, finally. But we actually got out, I think, by 11. It was like a record. And so we said, well, let's stop and get breakfast in Newburgh. I said, oh, that's a good idea. So then we pass the Sherwood Coffee. So 10 minutes later, we talked ourselves out of it. We said, well, let's go to that little restaurant, Otis. I hear a lot about it, but that's at the end. But there'll be a Starbucks. I know there'll be a Starbucks. There has to be, because there's one on every corner, right? I mean, you can't go 2 minutes without seeing a Starbucks, right? So we go through Newburgh. Starbucks? No. And I'm getting all the time, you know, more tense, agitated. This is my birthday drive. I've been thinking about this for weeks. And do I have my coffee? No. And of course, Sherry's over there, you know, having to put up with this sullen, moody, you know, darker and darker spirit. And then we go out of our way to go through McMinnville. I think there's got to be something in McMinnville, you know, in a Albertsons or something, for gosh sake. We go all the way through. And then she says, well, let's go through, you know, the old town. I'm like, no, just keep going. Forget it. Yeah, you know, nothing. I mean, for some reason, God doesn't want me to have my drink, so fine. And then we normally stop at, there's a little DQ there, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, and we stop there, and I always get my little blizzard, you know, because I'm on vacation, so I can eat whatever I want. And when you're on vacation, food doesn't hurt you. It's, you can eat whatever you want, believe me, trust me. And so I have my blizzard. Hey, we'll stop for the blizzard. No, don't stop. No, I don't want the blizzard. What heck with the blizzard? No, there's no Starbucks. There's no Starbucks. What? You know? So then we get to Sheridan. That little, she says, oh, I got to go to the store and get something. Well, fine, go ahead. Yeah, have fun. Enjoy yourself. You enjoying the trip? No, I'm sitting in the car by myself, and the best thought I can come up with is, you know, I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to get a big bag of Cheetos. I'm going to get a huge Coke. And I'm going to get a bag of those Butterhorns or whatever. I don't know. I haven't had a Butterhorn in years. And so then I go in the store, and Sherry says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Nothing." You know, I get all my stuff, and I get back in the car and swigging my Coke. And you like this, huh? You know, you see one of your people, you know, and. So anyway, then she like, thank God for Sherry. She puts up with so much, and she says, "Come on now, we're gonna have a nice breakfast in Otis. Knock it off, you know." And I said, okay, I got to get out of this, because I think, who's to suffer? So anyway, we stopped there. The breakfast was not good. I'm sorry, I don't know, a lot of it, but needed salt. Finally, get to Lincoln City. Long story, even longer, and Starbucks, and I get my foo-foo coffee drink. Normally, if I'm buying myself, I buy a short for $1.75, but when I'm on the birthday, you know, and I get my foo-foo drink finally in Lincoln City, we're almost where we're going, but as soon as I take that sip, then, you know, all is right with the world. Right? So, anyway, I digress. I apologize. You needed to hear that. Welcome, yeah. All right, let's read Principle 5 tonight. We're about Principle 5, Step 6 and Step 7. So Principle 5 says, voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Matthew 5, 6. Step 6. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. James 4:10. And step 7, we humbly ask Him to remove all our shortcomings. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and will give us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. So the acrostic tonight is victory. And the first letter, V, is for voluntarily. And it's really repeating the Principle 5. Voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my shortcomings. So what we're talking about here, I want to read, and I guess I was accused last time of not having enough Bible verses, so tonight we got Bible verses, okay? Whoever out there complain anyway. So, and I'm going to not only Bible verses from here, but we're going to Bible verses from the New King James Version of the Bible. So, yeah, all right. So I want to start with Romans 12:1-2 that goes along with this. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I love that part, not be conformed to this world, because that's where I was, and I still fight that to some degree. And I don't know why I was raised in a Christian home. We went to church every Sunday, but I naturally drew for the world. I naturally drew for every surfacey, cheap thrill, lust, if you will, flesh. I just naturally went there, and I rebelled, and it's just naturally what I did. And so this is a process of bringing me back and you in recovery to the other side of the coin, back to God's side, back to spirit. There's flesh and spirit, and we are to spirit. I heard this thing in the Bible, all that we see is temporal, all that we can't see is forever. And I need to remember that it's those spiritual things are the real things in life, not something I can touch and feel and that. So it's change our mind, change our heart, change our motive. I look at it like I've got this problem over here. Booze and gambling for me were the biggie amongst others. The harder I try not to do those, the more I do them. So I had to start doing stuff over here. Luckily, I got a sponsor who could get through this thick head and get me to start doing spiritual type things, although it wasn't necessarily presented that way at the time. But the things like helping others, being with other people in community, going to coffee, being social, even if I didn't want to be, and just doing a whole bunch of stuff that were contrary to what I thought would work or what was good. But by doing these things, not worrying so much about not trying to do this anymore, but concentrating on doing this over here, this slowly faded away. And it took about 9 months for me. It's different when that monkey got off my back for booze and drugs. And it was strong, because that was my, like I say, that was my problem solver. That was my, if I have a problem, I drink over it. If I feel good, I drink over it. If I do anything, and if the drinking isn't working today, well, then we'll go gamble and do that. One led to the other. But I had to start doing this action over here, which is of a spiritual, thinking of others, those types of things. Whole contrary to what I normally would do. I want to read something also. I think it's a little taboo, but this is from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know, I think most of you know, these steps came from the Alcoholics Anonymous back in 1938 and 39. That program was developed, and it was taken from a spiritual Christian-type program where they had six tenets of the Oxford groups, and Bill Wilson grew that into the 12 steps of recovery. And that's the same 12 steps, basically, that we use here. And we use Jesus Christ as our higher power here, where in the secular, it's just your higher power of your choosing. But the same, let me read this. And this, it's talking about alcoholism, but I think you can relate to whatever you're up to. Men and women drink, this is from the doctor's opinion in the early pages of the big book. Men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They are restless, irritable, and discontented. Unless they can again experience the sense of ease and comfort which comes at once by taking a few drinks, drinks which they see others taking with impunity. After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful, with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over. And unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there is very little hope of his recovery. On the other hand, and strange as this may seem to those who do not understand, once a psychic change has occurred, the very same person who seemed doomed, who had so many problems he despaired of ever solving them, suddenly finds himself easily able to control his desire for alcohol, the only effort necessary being that required to follow a few simple rules, and the few simple rules being the 12 steps that we follow and the eight principles. And so what they call a psychic change is what we're calling change of mind, change of heart, change of spirit, change of motives. It's the same, and it's a spiritual thing, and we call that for what it is here. It's repent in the Bible. Repent, repent. Over and over, Jesus taught it, John the Baptist. And a lot of that was at the church hierarchy of the time. Repent. Jesus got on them pretty good. So it's not, you know, we can think, well, we go to church or we're already a Christian or something that we're somehow, but, that, you know, and I know for some people, and I don't decry there's not miracles, instant healings of spirit, physically, and whatnot. But for most of us, you know, I prayed for that for years, whether my own stubbornness or faith, I don't know. But most of us have to do a recovery way. And I think for me, that was a huge blessing, because if I prayed to God and just got healed overnight, I wouldn't have all of you. And I wouldn't have... I am so blessed, and this is where this thing with me thinking I have no victory in my life for this, it just is so absurd, because anybody that's here and trying and doing the best they can with this program and your life, you have victory, and it's worth, you know, shouting about, and so don't let Satan give you the big lie. But I, you know, I think God wants us to be here and help one another and have free. He doesn't want me to, you know, just be some depressive, lonely person shunning, you know, I'm healed, I have no problem, so therefore I can shun everybody away and live life the way I want to, and this and that and the other. I've been forced, you know, at first it was a drudge, like, oh, go to coffee with those AA people, come on, you know, cut me a break. You know, but my sponsor, you know, and he'd say, hey, kid, you know, I got 26 years and you can't put 6 months together. Maybe you ought to listen to what I have to say, you know. And so, okay, I'll go to coffee with these people. But just, I had to slowly, you know, become friendly and become where I could be around and be of service and whatnot. And it's a huge blessing. So how do we get there? How do we do this? And we're on step 6 and principle 5 tonight. We started in a way with the first steps, obviously. Step 3, though, we asked God into our heart, or we made decision to turn our life over to God. Maybe that's where a lot of us became a Christian. Maybe that's where some of us turned back to God. Maybe we'd ran away and whatnot, like I had done, and just like somebody said, they were looking for God their whole life, and I said, I wasn't looking for God at all. I knew where he was, and I was running the other direction. But I was trying to come back to God, and where I started paying attention to that and thinking about it and working on it. So at least we become conscious and conscientious of that whole principle. And maybe for some of us, this is life-changing when we become a Christian or turn it over. Step four, then, we start working to look into ourselves and our grosser handicaps and writing down these things and whatnot, so we can be rid of them, really, really getting as many of our character defects as you can. You're not going to get them all overnight, but we do the best we can. And then step five, we confess to ourselves, to God, and to another person. The hardest one is to the other person. But we are as sick as our secrets. I really believe that. I know that because I have... You tell this to somebody and it just takes the power out of it. There's something magic about it. And these things are just so right on. But again, it's hard. So it's not easy to do this. And some of these things. But if you will, and keep working at it and keep trying. And as I say, you can always get Guido from the other side of town, you know, that you'll never see again. And tell him, you know, tell somebody. But it is something even about somebody knows you. And it just, you know. So we're at step six then, which says, we just read it, for gosh sake. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So what do we do here, and how do we do that? So it says you are entirely ready to have... The step six does not read, you are entirely ready to have you remove all your character defects. No, it says you are entirely ready to have God remove all your defects of character. So God is in this process. We turn these things over to God, and he's a big part of it. There's stuff that we have to do, but there's stuff that we can't do. There's stuff we've tried to do our whole lives. If we could make ourselves better and get rid of this stuff and do the deal, we would have done it a long time ago. And that's why a lot of us are here, most of us or all of us, because we can't do it. We try and we try, and we finally get to a point of saying, I'm done. I'm toast. Put a fork in me, I'm done. I got to do something. And that's when a lot of us get desperate enough to do something positive, because we'll get over that fear of walking in that door. I always thought, I'm sorry, I digress, but I always want a backdoor entry, I was thinking. We were talking about the greeters, you know, and they're always real happy. I would like a guy in the back that's kind of depressed, you know, and kind of down, because that's the way I felt when I got here. And I'd love to come in the back door, and it's like, yeah, okay, they're inside, go ahead, you know. Okay. I don't know about the happy handshake and I don't know, man, you know. So anyway, some of us are that way. I know you're not all that way, but when we first get here, then we get good. The next letter is I, identify. So it's identify these character defects. It look through your inventory will help. And I think, again, ask for all of them. You need to work on the blazing ones, like me was my alcoholism and my gambling were the glaring ones. I didn't need to be out in a car on the highway damaging other people, damaging property. I didn't need to be losing our money for the family and whatnot. So those had to stop. Also, for me, when I would get sober a while, and I'd be feeling good and helpful and this and that, and I just take one drink and it's all over. I'm all back to it's all about me. It's selfish. And so I had to just stop that, even so I could start growing and start, you know, get this process. The process just kept being delayed and stopped, and then once I could do the stopper, then I could do all these things and grow and whatnot. So identify your handicaps and the worst ones. Falling down doesn't make you a failure. Staying down does. The next letter is see, change your mind, which we've talked about. And I'm going to have to hurry up now because I've spent more time goofing off than I should have. And I'm going to read one Bible verse at least, so I get two in. Let me pick the one here I really like. And I had a whole scroll, but time is my enemy. I love this, and you've heard it before. It's a little early, but in the lesson, but the lesson's got to end here. This is Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love that. Find rest for your souls. I need that, and I'm glad I've found it. So C is for change. T is for turn. V-I-C-T, turn your character defects over to Jesus. Relying on your own willpower, your own self-will has blocked your recovery. So your past efforts to change, your hurts, hang-ups, and habits by yourself are unsuccessful. But if you humble yourself before the Lord, He will lift you up. And that's James 4:10. That's the other version. But humility. And then O, the next letter is one day at a time. You didn't develop these character defects overnight, and they're not going to go away overnight necessarily. So some of us have to work. And once it's kind of good news, bad news. You get rid of those, and then once you get rid of those, these other things start popping up. But anyway, at least you got the process down, and you got the people around you to help you, and you're firmly committed. So it's not, and they're not as tough, you know. They're just insidious, but they're not as, you know. And they're aggravating, like a drive to the coast without your coffee. But if that's the worst thing I got to gripe about today, then I'm doing well. It was a bad day. But and then the verse for that, Jesus said the same thing. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Matthew 6:34, the Living Bible. This version's better, but I don't have time to read it to you. God said, I am the God I am. I'm not the God I was or I will be. I am. So it's today. We do these things today. There is like no tomorrow. You put everything off till tomorrow. If you're going to do this deal, you do it. You do it now and you figure, I need to do this. It's important. Very important. You want to change? Do you want to stay the way you are? Do you want to keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results? Or do you want to try new and regenerate yourself? Okay, so we're to O. R is recovery, is a process. Same kind of one day at a time. I like to think, please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. And again, when I have to not do something over here, I'm going to fight that forever. If I'm just going to, I can't do this, I'm not going to do it. Today I'm not going to do it. Jeff and I started trying to, thanks Jeff too, by the way, to eat right and get on the treadmill and exercise. And so far I've gained 5 pounds and I haven't been on the treadmill since. I've ran away from it. So thanks. I was doing fine till then. So that's a whole new. See, that's my new. Oh well. And then why is you? You must choose to change. There's things you have to do. You got to make these decisions. There's work that you need to do, but God has to do the rest. You can only go so far and know where that line's drawn, where you can go, and then where He has to do what He has to do. It's turned over to Him, and let the process take place. Do the basics. And let nature take its course. God's there, believe me. So wrap up. To make changes in our lives, all I had to do And all you need to do is to be entirely ready to let God be the life changer. We are not the how and when committee. When we are the preparation committee, all we have to be is ready. Tonight, Jesus is asking you, do you want to be healed? Do you want to change? You must choose to change. That's what Principle 5 is all about. Let's close with prayer, please. Dear God, show me your will in working on my shortcomings. Help me not to resist the changes that you have planned for me. I need you to direct my steps. Help me stay in today, not get dragged back into the past or lost in the future. I ask you to give me the power and the wisdom to make the very best I can out of today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.